It says do a roll call.
Kathy Egan, present.
Kevin Ward, here.
Dennis Scott, present.
And Ken Molnix is here, and Stu Martinez is out sick tonight. And we'll go jump directly to the discussion on draft Lapine Community Cemetery rules and regulations.
So what I would like to do is set the stage a little bit for the council and the public that's in attendance here tonight as to the process that staff and community members and actually a couple counselors have gone through together to get to this draft document set of rules and regulations. Before I do that, I want to backpedal a little bit and say that the city of Lapine now oversees and manages the Lapine Community Cemetery. And I would like to show some pictures of what the cemetery looks like. These pictures were taken at the end of last summer, heading into fall. It looks similar today, and unless some changes are made, it will continue to look the same in the future. And so this was brought to my attention that a set of rules and regulations would be a prudent decision by the city to start to move in the right direction for changing some of what you'll see here on the screen. So I'll work through slowly and try to give you a sense of what the Lapine Community Cemetery looks like right now. Okay.
That's slow.
Let me give a second.
You know what?
Is it not?
It's not plugged in.
I'm sorry.
I can do it.
Technical difficulties. Appreciate it, Ashley. That might help.
Okay.
Well, that's the entrance to the Lapine Community Cemetery.
Probably ready.
Okay. There we go.
There we go.
So this is a walkway looking down at several grave sites, and you see a variety of objects at various places. Similar shot. That's one space in particular that has quite an assortment and variety of decorations and things placed on the grave. And I just want to preface real quick. I'm going to try to talk about this in as respectful of a way as possible because it is a cemetery. What you see are a lot of fences and rocks and bricks and other things lining the plot of the burial spot. Some that are standing, some that have fallen over and likely have been fallen over for a long time. Another similar shot. Lots of artificial flowers, astroturf, certain types of rock and decorations, and quite the variety. Some fences that are very tall, more astroturf, benches, odds and ends. Again, some in better condition than others. There's no shortage of examples, and so I think there's only one more slide. If not, this is the last slide. Just to give you a sense of what it looks like out there and some of the reasons as to why portions of these draft rules and regulations are in place. So with that setting the stage, back in the fall, a working group to come up with a set of draft rules and regulations for the cemetery was put together. Councilman Stu Martinez and Councilwoman Kathy Egan both volunteered to participate on that. I reached out to some folks in the community and was able to get Pastor Norm Soyster to participate and also Janine Earls to participate. So the five of us met. We met four times, and to give you a sense of the process we went through, and I'll be quick about this. We looked at these pictures. I encouraged everyone to actually visit the cemetery to get a sense of what it looks like now. The first meeting, we sort of framed some topics for discussion and talked about objectives. Then we looked at other cemetery rules and regulations from a variety of other cities and the draft set that the state provides. That set the state provides is about 14 pages long. And the example that I kind of found as a good template that embodies what you want but isn't exhaustive and just too much to read and comprehend was Baker City. So these are, this format was kind of loosely based on Baker City. We brainstormed kind of what should it look like, just without actually putting the words on paper. And then the next step was actually, you know, putting together a rough draft and talking through it. And we went through probably at least two different drafts before they were comfortable with the approach. And then I met with Baird Memorial Chapel, sat down with Sally and Brad Baird over there. We talked through it. They had some feedback. So I incorporated that and brought it back one more time to the working group. I think that was back in December. And they, from my understanding, kind of gave it their blessing and said, you know, they've done their part, and I let them know that the next step would be bringing it to a council work session. So that's the work, and it kind of got pushed to the margins in December and January. We've been very busy, as you know, which is a good thing. But I do want to bring this back up as we're approaching spring 2016 and heading into the summer. So I don't think it's necessary, correct me if I'm wrong, to go line by line through every item. If you'd like me to, I will. My hope is that you've taken some time to skim through it and identified points where there's either confusion or questions or concerns, and we can talk through some of that. And obviously, this is an opportunity for you to give me and staff feedback to make changes. So I hope that sets the stage.
You know, one thing, Corey, I don't think remember it being in my brain when we started this, but there seems, when I look at these pictures this time, there's more that emotional need of this is mine, not yours. And I don't know, as if we do this, there's some way, I don't know, to clarify, you know, to their, so they would feel, okay, nobody's going to encroach over on Grandpa or whatever, maybe just cleaning that up. But I gotta, you know, that was the one of the steps. This is mine. I want you to know this belongs to me, not you. You know.
It does, yeah, I think that's a good observation. To somewhat answer your question, I think if I can, I'd like to read the two first paragraphs out loud, because I think that really sets the tone for what the intent of these rules and regulations are. And we can get lost in some of the details and phrasing of each of them, but I really think the important part, what I took mostly away from the working group, is this. There's a few main things that the intent of these are. And so let me read the second sentence. It says, these rules and regulations are intended to ensure public safety, enable effective ground maintenance, and preserve the scenic and historic feel. That was kind of an overarching sentiment that I picked up on. In addition to that, the nature of all improvements, good appearance of the grounds and buildings, and respectful observance of the sacredness of the place requires adherence to rules in which the right of an individual is secondary to the needs of others. It's a community cemetery. Everyone is there, you know, placing and observing and respecting the dead equally. Anything that mars the general beauty of Lapine Community Cemetery shall be avoided, and lot owners shall consider that the one lot is but a part of the whole and seek to improve it only with regard to its surroundings. So yeah. I know that doesn't necessarily answer your question specifically. I forgot to mention that I think that's an important tone,
yeah,
that this is trying to set, mm-hmm, trying to accomplish, trying to move towards that.
I think it does it well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this whole thing is great, you know, and did a great job. But the lots that are there and what people have on them, is that grandfathered? That's going to remain, and it's from here on out, this is what you do. You aren't going to go back and tell people you can't have AstroTurf when it's been there for X number of years and they were allowed.
Well, what I picked up on, and I do wish Stu was here, because he was someone who really emphasized this point, is that, and I completely agreed, and the only way this is actually going to become a reality is if we move forward this way, is that it's going to be incremental. So in my mind, you know, possibly this spring or summer, depending on how fast we can move forward with this, and after public notice and working to educate the public that this now exists, possibly the fences that are fallen over,
yeah,
are removed. this year.
Okay.
The fences that are up now and look respectable, they would not be removed this year. But we would make every effort to try to inform them that there are now rules that says there cannot be a fence. There cannot be AstroTurf. So whether it was spring or summer 2017 or 18, the intent is to move towards everyone being in compliance.
Okay.
And I think part of the, one of the points that also was made in the working group, and it's hard to know for sure, is that, you know, was that put down when someone visited 5 years ago or 10 years ago? At some point, there needs to be kind of a renewal of that object that's placed there in memory. And so these would be implemented very carefully because, again, I think the city, I think we all agree that this is something that we do not want to go in and quickly make rash decisions and say, and start removing items from gravesites. So it's something that we would work on very carefully.
But from here on out, it's basically cut and dry.
That's another good point, is that, and Baird Memorial assured me that they would make sure that people they're working with are aware of these rules and regulations.
Okay.
And the idea would be to, you try to stop it from getting worse. That you're not adding any more of these call them prohibited items, some of, you know, that are spelled out in here, namely, you know, fences and AstroTurf and things like that. And then you try to then turn the corner and move in the other direction.
I would think we'd give everybody that's involved a copy.
Yes.
Sure.
I will say that I've been involved with the cemetery for a number of years now through the Band of Brothers. One of the biggest issues has always been about, like, these fences. They have to get in there to dig. These are, I think they're 5x10s. I think they're 5x10 lots.
Correct.
Okay. And when you think that they've got a fence or they've got this AstroTurf over that 5x10 and beyond it, mm-hmm. and the fences are beyond it, and they get over there to dig another grave,
mm-hmm. can't do it.
They can't do it. Mm-hmm. Those tractors will run over all kinds of stuff, mm-hmm. and it's a maintenance nightmare. Mm-hmm. So also there's a real issue with the way they put the headstones down. If they're not put down properly, and you can go out and see it right now,
oh, yeah.
these headstones sink into that sand and they topple over. So it's truly, we need to be considerate, and I'm sure it's in here,
mm-hmm.
And I see a bunch of it, that our maintenance staff, Public Works, or whoever is the one that is doing the digging, has the clearance and the ability,
expertise, yeah.
to actually get in there and dig without worrying about running over somebody's flowers or stuff like that. I've been to other cemeteries and I've never seen it like this. So,
is there, the lots aren't separated by corners, stakes?
No,
nothing surveyed. Nothing's.
No,
it's just basically. Guessing, my gosh.
When they laid it out, and there's a map. There's a
yeah,
map.
Yeah, I know there's a map.
But they're, you know, 5 feet one, and then 5 feet there's another.
Well, one thing they did do when they built the walkways, there are 2x4s that run across the walkways that are laid every 5 feet to use as kind of an indication of where that starts and stops.
Yeah.
The other thing we talked about, Ken, is a lot of them have like a little trinket, or I think a man had a little dog or something that was probably his favorite dog. And we talked about possibly trying to find like an airtight container by a certain size. And if they wanted Dad's favorite pipe, or we were talking about something, instead of just leaving it out in the elements, make it consistent, where they could buy that little container and then put the memorabilia in that instead of all over everywhere. At least if there was that, it would be uniform.
Yeah, I saw in here where it says that that'll be around the headstone.
Mm-hmm.
I and that seems satisfactory. you know.
And there will be, one of the other questions I heard the working group that was brought up several times is, you know, there is some room for interpretation in here, and there is an element of discretion, and that's part of, that ties in with what I was saying in terms of, these are not going to, it's not going to be full steam ahead, try to get these implemented as soon as possible. It's going to be, it's going to be moving slowly, using discretion, trying to be respectful, but also changing the attitude, per se, kind of, that has been out there for a long time. I would, maybe I'll highlight a couple points that I think are especially important. Just building on your point, Mr. Mayor, all work performed in the cemetery must be conducted by approved personnel. That's essentially saying that if anyone is doing work out there, we want to know who they are. It doesn't need to, it's not going to be a written authorization per se, but we expect to know who's performing that work. And then building right on top of that is that, you know, permanence is essential. Any monument, marker, or foundation must be constructed of a durable material in a workmanlike manner, again, you know, as determined by cemetery staff. So saying there is an expectation that cement foundations will be set to a certain depth and set at a time when it's not freezing and the cement can actually bind as it should so that it will last and not crack years down the road.
So who's to set the headstones?
Right now, Baird contracts with, I'm not sure exactly who they contract with, but I've heard the gentleman's name, I haven't met him, but we had an issue with the headstone not that long ago, and it was, that's part of why this paragraph was put in there, and Baird recognized that this needed to be addressed. There was a headstone that was placed down prior to the burial, and again, when you're dealing with plots that are 5x10 and there's lots of lodge poles out there and big ponderosas among other items, sometimes the maneuverability is tight. So oftentimes the headstone, if the headstone goes down prior to the burial, the headstone will be removed and then placed back. And it has been several times in the past with no issue. Mm-hmm. However, if the headstone, if the foundation already has a crack in it because of work that wasn't performed as well as it should have been, well, then that presents an issue when you move the foundation. So a crack was present months after the foundation was poured, and that's not a durable quality product.
So you think about the maintenance. Who's going to move the headstone? They pick something, and they can't pick it up by hand.
No.
It has to be picked up by a bucket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they pick it up. And the foundation comes apart and breaks the headstone. So who's responsible? So there's some very serious issues around, you know, making sure that our people that do the burial, any of those people that are representing the city, have the ability to do what they need to do. And if something happens, we're protected.
Absolutely. That's one of the main intentions of this document, is just putting it in writing and saying that's our policy, that's our expectation. I will say, on a side note, that this is, I think, an important step in the right direction for kind of changing the image and some of the activities that are performed out there and by who, but there's a lot of other operational aspects that can be improved upon with the running and maintenance of the cemetery. And I intend to keep working on those in a systematic manner.
This is just a start.
This is a piece
of
that.
Process.
Yeah, this is a piece of that. Whether it's working with volunteer groups to improve, you know, the structure out there, which that was tremendous, or working with volunteer groups to do an annual cleanup, a spring cleanup, or obviously, you know, also working with Public Works to make sure that, you know, I drove out there recently. There's some trees down that need to be removed. You know, but if no one goes out there and looks at it, no one will know. But we need to set that as a something that we do.
Well,
regularly.
There's a great deal of interest in the community to help do the cleanup. Because the Band Brothers for years has had a cleanup crew that they go out there and they take the bitter brush out and actually just keep it all clean and put it over there in the burn pile. And, you know, that's beneficial to the city. So those kinds of things.
The Pine Shine now can help with that, too.
Who?
Put the shine on the pine. You know, we can help out there also with that.
Absolutely. But not only that, the county work crews come out there. The juvenile work crews. We were out there when I had a crew out there redoing the cover. And two Saturdays they were out there, and they did a lot.
Yeah.
You know,
I met the coordinator and lined that up, and I want that to be a piece of the puzzle for making the cemetery always look as best as possible.
Yeah.
So
up until this point, there's never been any rules or regulations out there.
There's a one-page document that exists right now that I don't think that was ever adopted as a resolution.
No, that came over from the cemetery board.
Yeah.
And really, what that is more rules around who could be buried there. It's more of the point of who's eligible to buy a plot there.
I remember now. Yeah.
And pieces of that are found in this document as well.
There should be more than that. There was a several page set of rules and regulations and directives these things.
I went through, I don't know, maybe five binders. There was quite a bit of information shared with the city when the city absorbed the cemetery board. I wasn't able to find that, but it's good to know that it did exist at one time.
Yeah, because there were rules for how headstones should be placed, what types of things could be placed on the graves, and how durable they should be, what could not be there, and all that existed at one point. So I don't know what
just
happened.
Just kind of got lost.
But I think this is a great opportunity that we're getting back to something like that, that's going to lay down the foundation for where we go forward. The idea of not moving rapidly. I don't know whether you have an open house or you send out a mailer or something to the city residents. I don't know how well and what kind of condition our records are for who's buried there and that kind of stuff is. I'm familiar with another cemetery run by the Masons, and it's so messed up. They don't know who's buried in all the spots or whether the spots are full. But that's all pieces that have to eventually come together.
Definitely.
Because the state cemetery board can be nasty people.
Yes.
Trust me.
Yes. And we have.
We know that.
We do. And we have a lot of duties and responsibilities that we are legally bound to perform.
Yep.
And it's my intent to make sure that those are.
So as of now, we don't have a record of who's buried.
Oh, we do.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we do.
Oh, you do. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
We do.
Okay.
We have been performing all of those duties.
And I was just saying, I wasn't sure of how complete. All of that was.
And that's a goal.
Just a comment here. In monuments and foundations, all work performed in a cemetery must be conducted by approved personnel. Approved by who?
Well, that would be whoever city staff. I'd probably the city manager would be aware of who is performing the work, essentially. That's kind of.
I think I'd like to see the word city put in there.
Okay.
But then if Baird is having that done.
But it's still approved by the city.
Oh, we had this conversation at the working group, and we can change that language. My understanding is that cemetery staff are a part of the city, and therefore it is approved by the city. So when I'm saying cemetery and city, those are sort of the same thing, but I understand your...
It's just like the IT apostrophe S and the...
Similar.
It is, you know, to me.
Okay.
By the approved city personnel or just by...
Conducted by city approved personnel.
Okay. I think I might make... I might make that change throughout the document and actually substitute city in for cemetery. You know, even where it says the cemetery is not responsible for any theft,
Right.
We could save the city. And I'll look at that a little more critically, and when this is up as an agenda item next, I'll make a comment, Matt, and we can revisit it as discussion.
Any comments? Any else?
No, I think it's a...
I think it's a great start.
It's a start, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because the very last section is important, where it says, "The rules and regulations are subject to change whenever the Lapine City Council deems it necessary. They are also subject to any changes that may occur through legislative act in the state of Oregon." So it's saying this is a living document that will be revisited as time moves forward, and if it needs to be changed, it will be by the council.
Okay.
Oh, I think that's good about looking in here and replacing cemetery with city.
Okay.
Under employees or something. Okay.
I will do that.
I got that from the city manager there too, so it's
city manager. Consensus that we bring this to council with conditions that we described here and comments about any changes.
Yeah, and my intent will be to make these changes because they're rather quick, and then hopefully have it on the March 9th agenda.
And again,
we can comb through it and look at it critically, and if we need to have a little more discussion, then we can
get it done before the weather breaks.
Yeah, and then try to work towards, and I do want to emphasize this, I think it is important to kind of look at sort of a strategic plan for, you know, what will be the goals of putting this in place this year. Working with Baird to find out, you know, ensure that they're letting new burials, interments, and interments aware of these, and then also working to maybe try to get contact information and reach out and make a strategy for letting the public know that these are now in place and treading lightly.
Yeah, treading lightly.
Putting them in place. That's my intent. So.
Yeah, I just have one thought spinning around it, but it'll be more. Maybe we can talk about it more, the operation of the cleanup. When you said, well, if we remove all the older dilapidated fences but we leave the new ones, it almost seems to me if fence is the issue, that it should be all or none and not say, well, yours is newer so it should stay or could stay. I think if we go for fences, it should be all fences.
I do too.
You're going to have arguments over they picked on me and they.
They wouldn't let me keep my fence.
That's going to be touchy.
Boy, I can see that just as well as.
So when we go for one item, we go for all of like items.
Okay. Before any of that happens, I will I'll offer it up for discussion and let you know that this is the plan.
Or if there's a fence needs fixing, maybe one of our volunteer groups just fix it.
No.
Well, we wouldn't want to improve it. My thought with removing the ones that had fallen over was this, is that under decorations, we have a section that says, you know, flowers, floral designs, or any decorations of any kind may be removed when, in the opinion of city staff, they become damaged by the elements, unsightly, diseased, or do not conform to these rules and regulations. So I think in two separate categories, you know, you not only have a fence, you have one that's fallen over and diseased fence, you know, a broken fence, so it should be removed. You know, then as long as my worry is I don't want to move too fast and have folks then say, whoa, the city is coming out here removing stuff from our plot. So I thought if you did kind of two layers of public noticing, then you build in a little more time.
Well, letting the family probably should be notified.
Well, yeah.
You know, of course, and give them the chance to fix it.
Get that letter or notice that, you know, the what we're doing and why, and have comments and that type of thing.
That would be the hope. So, nothing moving too fast, but at the same time, if you don't put it in place and start, it's never going to get any better. So,
sounds great.
That's the intent on this.
Okay.
Anything back there?
I was just wondering about maybe having, this is a very short document, and maybe it doesn't need this, but you might want to have definitions. That way you don't have to use this.
Oh, I think that's good. I think we could add that as an appendix and
have a definition.
Yeah, when you have a definition for like cemetery staff, what does that mean when you use that?
I tried to build it so that the definitions were kind of embedded within the document.
I saw that. It seems that way.
But I get what you're saying.
It's kind of, it's real short, and it looks like it pretty much takes care of itself.
I tried to keep it lean because I wanted it to be something that someone could actually pick up and read through and get the gist of it. That's the real.
I think people like lean.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah.
I think putting city in there.
It, making that change.
Is going to make make that.
Is it permissible to ask a question?
From you?
Yeah.
Give me about 4 minutes, I'll think about it. A question, not some of this rambling stuff we do. A question, of course.
What about you? Who in city staff right now does any work at the cemetery?
Who does any work or who would do any work?
Both.
Scott. Public works. Scott goes out there with the backhoe and does some work. He assists Paul Cody, who has been doing work when Paul needs some help. Yeah.
Well, is the city staff able to? Is the city able to establish a every once a week things for somebody to go out there, or is that not feasible?
For me, just knowing how many people we have at the public works and the jobs that they have to do, I think as we get this further down the road, there will be certain kinds of things that can be the responsibility of public works, and the rest of it, for instance, like, you know, I got the band of brothers and we went out there and rebuilt that cover and painted it, and we've still got one coat paint to do, so we'll go out there this spring, we'll do it again, and I think it's inclusive enough in here that the city can say, you know, volunteers, or it says in here that the city says, okay, band of brothers, go out there and do something.
It happened to be you who were working with the band of brothers, but we were communicating and working. I came out and took a look at the work that was happening. City funds, I believe, went in to pay for the supplies.
So my basic labor. Question is it feasible to schedule on a weekly basis city staff to go out and do maintenance?
At this time, I don't think we're ready to make a comment like that.
Okay.
I think that down the road, there'll be some kind of bringing forth what the total job of public works is, and it would be premature to up. But it's a good question.
And that took less than 4 minutes.
Yeah,
I'll take 30 more seconds to add on a little bit. What I would like to see in the future is sort of an expectation and precedent set that, you know, now that the snow's kind of thawed out, you can now see the branches that have fallen down. So whether it's February 24th or March 15th, you know, kind of that transition from winter into spring, Public Works knows that it's time to go out and do a larger cleanup. And then, you know, probably not weekly, but bi-weekly or at least once monthly or something like that, I don't think it would be a bad thing for a Public Works employee to take 15 minutes or half an hour to just drive out there and see if there's an issue.
Yeah.
And if they see something, maybe they address it. If not, they at least kind of take stock of what it looks like and they say, well, you know, that needs to be done. We're going to take 2 hours, and, you know, 3 weeks from now, that's on the agenda. So, yeah. But that will only happen if we make it happen.
And it'll come into being at some
correct.
Point in time. Don?
To kind of save on staff time, why wouldn't it be possible to delegate maybe somebody in the community that has an interest in the cemetery to go out once a week and take a look, and if they see anything that's out of line, to bring it to city staff, then let the city staff follow up on it?
That's an idea, but of course we have this young man sitting right here who has plenty of time to do everything. Through the cemetery.
I'm driving out there after this. In the spotlight.
You've got a camp out there.
I've heard of other things happening.
My hope would be that anybody who visits the cemetery and sees something that they either like or dislike will have the opportunity and it will be known to them to let city staff and City Hall know if something needs to be done. So part of item number 7 on this was the creation of a complaint or comment form that will be available to the public to be able to kind of weigh in. Or, you know, just like with code complaints or other issues, I get phone calls all the time. If someone goes out there and sees it, I would hope that they would know that they can call. But I do think that that's...
Once this goes into effect, you're going to have various complaint forms. You know, once everybody sees this, so I don't think we already have to worry about people checking on it. No, you're going to get
it'll yeah.
for the first year.
The pine is what it is.
Yeah.
They like to point things out.
But don't you think since the city's taken it over, I haven't heard as much about four-wheeler racing out there and the ski-doo, we had enough snow and stuff, they could have done it this year. But I haven't heard of people doing it like we had heard for a long time, just getting torn up and disrespectful. I think that's changed.
I haven't either, but you know, I don't know how to.
I haven't heard much.
I haven't gone out with the snow, so.
Yeah. Well, we'll be out there with a work crew here to paint that building. You're welcome to come. We got gloves and coveralls and, you know.
It's really peaceful.
We'll show you how to use the sprayer.
I like to go out there once in a while.
It's really nice.
I do. I just go out there and kind of walk around.
Ponderosa's getting big.
The trees are nice.
The wind's
blowing. So peaceful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we'll move on to item number 4, a discussion on UO Sustainable City Year Program.
Yes. So probably in the fall, Rick and Megan Banks, who is the director of the University of Oregon Sustainable City Year Program, began talking about the possibility of this program coming to Lapine. And I want to kind of explain a little bit for everyone sort of what this program is and the possibilities and benefits that it provides. So this program's been around for I don't know how many years, but they've worked with a handful of cities in Oregon, mostly larger cities. They've worked with Salem, they've worked with Medford. This year they're working with Redmond, and they're doing several projects. The handout that I provided to the council members kind of gives a broad overview of what they do. You know, they say a typical Sustainable City Year program will have 20 or more city identified projects, 500 students, senior or graduate level, 60,000 hours of student time. Well, again, that's for cities that are a little bit larger than ours, and Redmond actually is the smallest city to date that they've done. However, it's not their mission to only serve larger cities in Oregon, and actually they're trying to make a point to serve smaller communities around the state. So we were approached and spoke to Megan Banks about the possibility of this happening in Lapine, and really the first serious meeting we had was, Dennis, was that probably 3 weeks ago or over a month ago at this point. Rick was here, Megan Banks was here, and Dennis was able to attend, and we kind of talked through the preliminary prospects of this program coming to Lapine. Now, we would not have 20 projects. What was sort of talked through and articulated to Megan is that likely we would have 2 projects. So this is a much scaled down version. And the idea was thrown out that one project would predictably so revolve around the downtown and the urban renewal district and the concentration of energy on that part of town. But also that the other project would take place up at Wickia Junction, and trying to think and explore and be creative through the hours that the students and U of O faculty would put into this about what could it look like, how, you know, planning, engineering, landscape architecture, what would be kind of the 5-10 or beyond plan for that, and then also how do you connect those two regions of the city?
Before we realized the better need of the money that we put in the 1517 STIP, and we rechanneled it to get this this side, west side of the streetscape done. There was a eight or 10 foot pathway that would run from over here somewhere behind Taco Bell all the way to Wickiup Junction, okay? And it would have light bollards as you went along. So that would be, could be something. Or an overlay. And right back here in the city of Redmond, it talks about bike, the hub, creating a friendly bike system in Redmond. Well, I absolutely think that we need to do that sooner than later. But that's the kind of project, you know, that could be taken on and brought forward. You know, just one of them. Mm-hmm. But it'll really help us. This is a great thing because our city staff does not have the time to take on more than two or three projects because we're a new city. So I think it's a great opportunity.
A little bit more that makes it intriguing from the city's perspective is that this is not a free lunch. There is no such thing as a free lunch. And so, you know, Redmond, with their 20 projects or more, and probably, I don't know, 40 or 60 classes working on those projects, they're spending over $300,000 to be a part of this program.
Yep.
Now, obviously, we would be a fraction of that because of the limited number of projects. It's been brought to my attention that there is potentially a one-for-one matching funds from the Ford Family Foundation to make this a reality here in Lapine. So if we say that, and again, these are details to be ironed out over the next couple of months, that there's going to be six classes, three at each project, and it would cost $50,000. The city would need to come up with $25,000. And the Ford Family Foundation would potentially match.
She mentioned that was the highest it'd be.
That is the upper end. Correct.
That's a very upper end.
That's an upper end.
It could be considerably lower.
It could be lower.
And she wasn't sure that the Ford Foundation would kick into something this small. So that's why we have to.
That's a good point. And we've followed up. Megan has, and I was in Portland for a conference 2 weeks ago, and I noticed on one of the panel boards that one of the Ford Family Foundation employees, who people would know who she is, Nancy Straw, was there. And I made a point to go up and introduce myself and talk a little bit about this, and Megan's talked with her more, and that's going to continue to be a dialogue as we move towards potentially making this a reality. I think what city staff needs to hear tonight, and I would love to answer some more questions, is this something you want us to move forward and try to secure? Because if so, I think the next logical steps would be to invite Megan over, and I've already talked to her about coming over and making a presentation to the council in March, hearing more and being able to ask her questions, and we would know more at that time as well. So this is an opportunity to kind of just explore the idea, think about it, ask questions, and decide if you want myself and Rick to keep working with her.
Kathy?
Well, I think the Ford Foundation loves Lapine.
I do too.
So I think our chances of getting something is probably higher than the average city. And I think this is fabulous. It's exciting to look through and see what they're doing. I think we absolutely need to grab hold of this. Without question.
Karen?
I love the idea of making a path all the way from Taco Bell all the way to the north. And I agree with Kathy. Ford Foundation does love us, and they do put a lot of money into here in all locations. I mean, the senior center is one place that is a ironclad guarantee that they love Lapine.
Yeah. Okay, Dennis?
I just thought it was great, and actually it's money-wise, it's a lot less expensive than hiring a firm to come up with a plan. You know, it's peanuts compared to that. So, you're getting you're getting all these students working on it, you're getting outside influence. I think it's a great program.
Yeah, I think this is so much in the best interest of the city. It just goes beyond. And I'll give you an example. We brought a person out of college to come to the city and work for, on a internship, and look what happened.
Yeah, he's been a challenge.
I mean, he decided to come back.
He's been a challenge.
And when you think about it, all of these people who come here and look around, you know, students, wow, you know, I could do something here.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a win-win just.
Yeah.
So, the council's in agreement that the city staff should move forward.
I like it.
Okay.
Absolutely. Like excited. Yeah, if I could add one more thing, it's and this would take place over the course of next academic year, the 2016-17
sure.
academic year, so likely starting in the fall. Not only at the end of working with the program do you get a tangible product that says, you know, these are the plans or these are the designs or, you know, types of things to move towards in
yeah.
the future, but it also is the aspect of the very, very positive publicity that
yes.
would come with showing that the council and the city wants to be involved with these types of things, is open to you know, sustainable multimodal type ideas of connecting parts of the city, making it more pedestrian friendly, inviting students to come in and be creative and offer ideas. That's
yeah.
that's worth something as well. And
yeah.
with in conjunction with the branding initiative and everything else that's going on, this would be a pretty sweet layer to put in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there it would require staff time. It would require staff time. And there would be some things we need to iron out in terms of the relationship between the city and U of O in terms of the program, and then also the contribution of Ford Family coming into that.
Right.
But those are details that we will work through.
Bring forward anyway.
Exactly, and sort through in the next couple of months, and if things line up, it could very well be a reality. So.
Yep.
Then I will, I'll let Rick know, and we'll keep working with Megan, and hopefully she'll be here next month. To give a presentation, and we'll know a little bit more about what steps we would need to take
okay.
to make it happen.
That's great.
Wonderful. Right.
We are at public comment.
I look for you.
That's good.
No, they're not. No, they're not. I know you. Anyway, anybody? Kitty? No? Well, you know.
Yep. Can I have a few?
Yeah,
real
sure
quick?
Can.
I think actually almost all of you were there last night. I just want to do say that we had our first open house on the water and sewer expansion, and I think it served its purpose, which was to let the community know that we're looking into this project and we have more questions than answers now. But we want it to be a transparent, open process where people are not being blindsided by something.
Absolutely.
That is the bottom line take-home message from last night.
Right.
Let them know of the timeline. We'll be having a one-stop in the next few months, sitting down with funders to find out how much money can the city get in grants.
Yep.
We'll go through that process by late summer, early fall. We should know more. We'll have another open house. I'll change the format a little bit, maybe a bigger menu. And it got a little stuffy in there, but everyone came out alive, so it's okay. So I just wanted to give a quick update that happened last night. I got an email this afternoon that we had been awarded the TGM grant for code assistance that we applied for.
Oh, good. Good.
Great. At the last council session, you guys passed a resolution in favor, and Laura, the program director, emailed Rick and I and said, we're going to start working on a project, a scope of work for the project, and we'll continue to work with them on narrowing down. That's a tremendous resource, again,
yes.
towards getting towards a uniform look and strengthening our codes to make sure that building is up to the level that we expect.
Yeah.
Lapine's turning over a new leaf on yes. expectations in that regard.
Just a comment. I think it's probably a mundane sounding thing, but it's probably more important than a lot of other things that are going on in the city right now.
Mm-hmm.
For it to move forward mm-hmm. and get that piece, because we're at risk.
Mm-hmm.
The city is at risk. as we move forward to building and all of that. So getting it is a lot bigger than it sounds. It's mm-hmm. just, it's going to be do big stuff for the city.
It is. It's, yeah. it's one of those backbone, foundational type things that, yeah. that pays dividends for years. Yeah. So that'll be good. And the final update is, and I'm optimistic, is that at the March 9th meeting, there should be a new sound system in this room. They're scheduled to come perform the work tomorrow and Friday. And then staff will get some training on that, and actually, you know, we'll make sure, maybe we'll let you know to arrive a little early that meeting night to test everything out and make sure that it's up to snuff. So just a final update that should be finished here shortly.
Okay. Nice.
That's what I have.
Yeah. I had told staff that I was having trouble getting in and leaving a message over the weekend. So I went back. Ashley asked me if I'd wait long enough. Well, part of it is when you call in, it goes beep, beep, and then beep, beep.
I got that today.
And then beep, beep, and by then you give up.
I got that today.
Did you? Yeah, it takes forever. On the fourth beep, beep, it'll say you can leave a message. Well, that doesn't work. You can't. You
it doesn't have a ring.
Oh, it does not.
I bet you. Well, it's a feature that can be changed.
Yeah, even a beep is okay if it says leave a message or something instead of just continually beep beeping. So
well, I think instead of getting that noise that you get when you ring, I think it's set to do that beep beep instead.
You want to let them know real quick about the, I mean, we got new phone software and
yeah.
You don't have to say too much about it, but that's part
of it. We got new phone software. It's on my computer now. It used to be upstairs in our server room, which is really difficult when we had to record the phone message because one person would run upstairs and hit the button and then Patty get the call and she's got her script and she's trying to read it and then you gotta wait for her and run back up and shut it off. And so now it's all uniform, it's all downstairs. The phones didn't change too much, but there's some different features in them. We can tell when somebody's on a line. We set up that bound calling. The phone tree stayed the same. It probably will need some more work when Bill gets back.
Yeah, there were a couple technical difficulties to get there. We're working through those.
We lost the internet the first day. We fixed it, but then we figured out it's going through the wrong router, and the IP addresses are set up wrong because it's an internet phone. So Bill is gone, but he will be back, I think, in 3 weeks. And so in that time, we do not have the public Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
That people can just hook onto from outside.
We can fix it, but then at any time it
crashed.
Drop back off. So we could call Mike to come over and fix it every other day. But I think the point that we made as a staff decision was that for now that service is going to be down.
They've been trying to get it fixed as soon as possible. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. And it works for a minute. I mean, oh, not a minute. I won't say it'll probably work for a day. And then something happens and it goes down.
Yeah.
And Mike isolated the issue, he found it, but rather than call him in every other day, if there's something big going on where we're going to have the Wi-Fi in here, then we'll call him in and have him fix it for the time being.
Prior to that, yeah.
But other than that, we're just going to not have that feature.
Sure.
So you're talking about like Rick sits there with his laptop and he can't get on?
He can't.
No, he should be fine. Okay. He should be able to remote in and do all of that.
Because okay. I don't have any problems.
Yeah, we plug right into the, but we plug it into
local.
Okay, so there's a public drive and a private drive. And the private drive is what you and Rick are on.
Okay.
And the staff, in-house staff. All of our computers are working just fine. But then that public internet is for when we're down here in the council chambers, we need something off the internet. We can't link onto that public Wi-Fi.
I get you.
Our cell phones won't link up to it. Things like that.
So it's not really impeding staff operations. It's kind of an inconvenience for the public if they wanted to use Wi-Fi.
For me,
it's a big inconvenience for Kathy, but we got her own workstation now. So she just comes in and logs onto a big computer, and she's got it all figured out.
There we go. Troubleshooting.
And they're starting a Wikio. They're up there with a backhoe today.
Oh yeah, they
taking up stumps.
Yeah, they checked out
they've been there for a few days.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Well, and in the did everybody get the card in the mail?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And it's actually going to start in March instead of April.
Okay.
It says on the card that the work will start. So you'll see all of the heavy equipment start moving in there and everything. So.
Okay, I didn't pick that up. Okay.
I will
so be
say,
sure to come. Yeah. Be sure to come.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the 3rd?
Correct. Yeah. It's next, yeah,
March
I'll give a
3rd.
Quick plug. Next Thursday, March 3rd, here at City Hall. ODOT is really organizing the event. It's mostly their event about their projects, but obviously in conjunction with us. And I meet someone from ODOT, a community liaison, is driving down Friday afternoon to kind of talk and brainstorm about how to best utilize this space, because we're thinking it might be a little tight if people show up at one time instead of kind of come and go and mingle for 20-30 minutes and then leave. We'll probably utilize the entire building at this point. So we're going to brainstorm through that.
Because they sent notices out to everybody.
Correct.
In the area.
The entire,
so that's
yes.
A lot of people.
I think the example was last night,
yeah.
Where, you know, we expect people to recognize that, okay, it's going to be from here to here. And everybody comes in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the way it is. People show up in the beginning. And
I learned that.
People
sorry.
Show up early.
No,
but
that,
just at the
but
beginning.
That's what will happen on the 3rd.
It is, you're right.
It is. Instead
right.
of coming and being able to ask questions or whatever like that, they'll all come in the beginning, and you may have some serious issues.
Yeah.
We'll I think that happened last night because people weren't quite sure what to expect.
Yeah.
I think they kind of, so if maybe that were spelled out a little better in the announcement, that just, you know, come and go at any time during that, and there will be stations.
I think you're right, Kitty.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah. So, okay. Anything else, Council?
Good session.
Motion to adjourn? No, we don't need that. We're adjourned.
There you go.
All right.
Thank everybody for coming.
You're welcome.